And welcome to Mediocre Movies, where we watch films that were just okay. I'm Riley.
I'm Keaton.
And I'm Cal.
And we're on the quest to find the most mediocre film of all time. The rice cracker of movies, if you will.
What's wrong with rice crackers, just before we jump into the movie?
There's no taste to rice crackers.
Doesn't mean they're mediocre, mate. You put some peanut butter in there, and then you've got gold.
Oh, then you squish them together and get the little worms?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but see, like, it's similar to the most mediocre film of all time, right? That makes all other films that are even slightly better than it even better, right? Yeah, the same as a rice cracker.
If you add something to the rice cracker, then you get greatness.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
The rice cracker by itself, it's just a palate waiting just to be better or worse.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
You put dirt on a rice cracker, it's going to go down.
Like the mediocre, the most mediocre film of all time is kind of like the slice of white bread for your jam or your peanut butter.
Or dog turd.
It's
very just
It heightens bland the experience for everything bland. Else. It itself doesn't do much else. It's just there. Exactly.
It exists. So the rules to us watching movies, we should explain, is that it has to fall between 35% and 65% on Rotten Tomatoes or on Metacritic, preferably both, I would say. I think that would make for a very okay movie.
Yeah.
Within 35 to 65 is in that one third in the middle. That's not good, but it's not bad, but it certainly is a film.
Yeah, it certainly is a film.
It goes for, you know, just an hour and a bit, an hour or more. Coherent?
Not necessarily
at all. I mean, that's what we're looking at, right? That's how we're going to judge this on our quest to find the most mediocre movie of all time. We're kind of looking at things that we, I guess, like, things that we didn't like, go into details with those, and then how we're doing this. At the end, we're going to give it a score?
Yeah.
Cool, and we'll see whether our scores match with each other, basically.
Alright, so this week we watched Death Race, which has 43 on Rotten Tomatoes and 43 on Metacritic, meaning
already,
it's very close to
being consistent.
Already consistent. Wait, which Death Race? There are two.
We watched the 2008 Death Race with Jason Statham, not the original from a very long time ago. So Death Race 2008, Paul W.S. Anderson, who is known for the Resident Evil films.
Yeah, and obviously the masterpiece that is Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
And obviously the most notable member of cast is Jason Statham, who plays Jason Statham, I believe, in this movie.
Well, he did have a name. It's just that
I do not recall.
I'm pretty sure it was just Jason Statham.
He does the same
when the casting notes went out. He was looking for a Jason Statham like character, and he saw it and like, wait a minute,
that's
I'm
me.
A Jason Statham character.
I can apply for this. Hey, he auditioned successfully too, right?
Got it.
So
the only other person that I didn't know but Cal did was Ian McShane, who played Coach.
Yeah, so he was coaching this, and those who know Deadwood or are watching American Gods, which is on TV at the moment, he is in both of those shows. Very much a TV actor. Not so much movies, and I can kind of see why.
Based
on his picks.
Based on his picks.
Definitely everyone in this movie had a bit of rough acting. But before we get into that, anyone have anything positive to say about the film? Keaton?
So without kind of, I don't want to spoil too much of kind of the ongoing discussions that are formulated in my mind.
Okay, before we do this, this is obviously going to have spoilers.
Okay.
Podcast, every episode.
We can't just vaguely talk about a film.
Yeah.
We're gonna spoil a movie, and this movie is in 2008, so you've had 9 years to watch this.
Starting from today.
Hope you wanted to see Death Race.
If you like had something lined up for the later this week when you're getting together and watching Death Race,
stop this podcast right now. And then watch.
Come back after you watch Death Race.
Come back. We'll be waiting.
So for me, the things that I liked about it, just some of the kind of like the premises and the notions, and also just some of the set designs as well, were like insane. Like they were insane in terms of it just not making sense. Like, for example, there's a car chase scene where a massive armored
race two
a massive armored truck with like anti-air artillery Gatling guns and like spiked chains. There's a massive flamethrower on it as well. It's ridiculous, like straight up ridiculous, and I couldn't stop laughing at how insane it was. I thought that was good. I don't know about you guys. I enjoyed that bit.
See, I feel like that kind of leads into why I wasn't a massive fan of the film, and we'll get onto that later. I'm trying to think of something positive. Positive, though, I did like the concept. The concept's a very cool idea. Like,
yeah, the concept's cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm big into futuristic sports, like, you know, where you're... Because this is kind of just like a Hunger Games, but with cars.
Yeah.
It was a Hunger Game with cars, but not children and angry adult men.
And not one sit on Wilson say, wow.
Yeah, true.
Like, that's the real part of cars that we're missing.
Wow.
But yeah, like, it's a super cool concept, and I don't know, I guess it's kind of more relevant now than it would have been 10 years ago, based on where we as a...
What year was this movie set in, Cal? Just to remind us?
Yeah, so we were looking at the Wikipedia plot synopsis, because I don't think they mentioned this once in the film. It's set in the futuristic year of 2012.
Sure. So, in the current year of...
Of 2008, yeah. So it's the distant future of 5 years. This is obviously what Anderson must have thought Obama's America would look like about 4 years.
Ooh, he's
like,
man.
He's like, man, we're going to last 4 years and then it's all just futuristic prison racing on TV.
Yeah, all right. I agree with that. The concept, I think, the concept had a lot. You could have done a lot better with that, just that concept. But instead, they kind of tacked on... This is negative. Tacked on the weird first part and the weird back 5 minutes. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense now. Kind of just... If they just had a movie about cars racing and shooting, I mean, I probably would have went and saw that in cinemas. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't go see this in cinemas, actually.
I don't even remember it coming out.
No, neither do I. But this had everything that I would enjoy, which was explosions and guns.
Okay. Actually, that in itself as well. You know, I enjoyed that to a certain degree. Like, the you know, just the classic action staples. Explosions, I guess cool-looking cars...
The one that Jason Statham drove was pretty dope. It was a Mustang that they just
killed
out with a shit ton of guns.
Literally,
I mean, that's cool, right? Yeah, exactly.
Literally every other one, like Machine Gun Kelly, I think he drove a mail van that was super. Like, that wasn't particularly cool looking. And the rest just drove like big armored trucks, but he drove like the Mad Max.
The what's his name? 14K.
Yeah.
He drove like a Beetle.
Did he?
It was just souped up Beetle.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. Too. It was pretty sick. Like, okay, look. I feel like it's like a grittier and a bit more unrealistic, satirical, if you will, version of like Fast and Furious. Like, they've got similar elements in that guns, babes,
cars,
explosions, action, and kind of all haphazardly placed together. Right.
Yeah.
Although, admittedly, this was more violent. From my understanding, like, there's some pretty fairly gruesome bits. Yeah. Like
the bit where the guy got crushed when in the first race when they like fishtail his car and slides sideways into the death spike.
Yeah.
And then it crushes him.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Oh, actually, let's talk about that as well, real quickly. It's like Mario Kart or like GTA Racing, GTA 5 Racing Online, if you have it. Like, so in the races, they have these like, what would you call them? Like manholes. Or like pads on the ground. And then all four wheels must be touching this pad as you drive it over. And it activates, there are different icons for different things that it activates. Some of them are like defensive, like shields.
Some of the shield ones were just more weapons.
Were they more? Okay.
It was like they drop a smoke bomb. Yeah. And then they drop Napa.
Yeah, it was like
there's just no in between.
There was smoke or napalm. Or you could drop petrol, which was the funniest scene in the movie because he put petrol on the ground and immediately the car behind him did like a 180 and then just exploded because apparently even if driving in a straight line, if you touch oil, your car loses all sense of friction and just rolls.
Look.
Which was phenomenal.
So, I mean, yeah. That was kind of cool. It felt like a video game, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
in that regards, you know what I mean.
I think the whole premise would lend itself better to a video game style.
Would you play it?
Probably.
Probably. Yeah, I probably would.
Like, you've released that around with Need for Speed Underground 2.
Yeah.
It's a very similar concept. You drive around a prison and you accept races. to win your freedom after, and you make like 15 races or whatever.
Yeah.
Done. Easy. That would be a game.
Would it be a mediocre game?
I think you could actually make a good game.
That might be time for a second podcast for the mediocre games.
Mediocre games.
So, I think that's pretty much everything. I enjoyed the explosions because I am quite dense at times. So once I turned my brain off, it was just explosions and car crashes. Every time they got out of the... now to the negatives. And this is where it gripes me, that every scene in the cars was okay. All the scenes in cars were either okay or good.
You're saying the best part of the film happened when they were in cars during races?
Yes.
So during
races,
yeah.
Literally no plot progression happened, but every time they got out of the car, it just became such a weaker film.
I'd say that, like, there was a good portion of plot progression in the car scenes.
Oh,
yeah, I think so.
Like a disproportionate amount of the plot progressed when they were driving in races. And not the race themselves, but there was one scene where Jason Statham was talking to his navigator.
Who we also don't know.
He was called Case... Chase or started with C.
It was like Casey.
We'll start on the way women were in this film in a minute because
that's a whole different kettle of fish.
Yes.
That's a big kettle of fish.
But he was talking to her, and that was A, the most dialogue that I'm pretty sure a woman had in the entire film. That one scene.
Yeah.
And B, it was very much, you're going to tell me this plot very forcefully or I'm going to eject you out because we need stakes for this scene because we're in a car and that's apparently just not high enough. And then there's another one where he's talking to Machine Gun Joe and just explains the entire plan of what they're going to do at the end of the film over car radio, which you'd think would be monitored by the prison themselves. So they'd hear this and be like, wait a minute, these guys are up to something. Maybe we should stop them. But apparently they didn't. Different thing.
Different thing. I think the thing that got me that bothered me the most was, as you guys were saying, like, the way that the narrative and the plot was progressed and told throughout the story is just so heavy-handed.
It's all tell.
It's forced down your throat type.
But, like, they didn't even do, like, the typical Chekhov's plot point where they'd bring something up at the start of the film and then that's relevant at the end. I think they did that once and that was only with the four wheels over the... things, because at the end they both cross over to ruin that truck.
Right, yeah.
That was the only time that was relevant. But with the rest of it, every time they needed something, like, we need to get this person from A to B, they were like, oh, new plot point, right now, here's what's happening. They didn't set it up in any way, they're just like, this is a thing that's happened, we're doing this now, deal with it.
Like with when Jason Statham is talking to a woman lady, and they were like, because Case may be her name, and they were like, did you kill Frankenstein?
Yeah, that's the
same. And I was like, that was never... ever brought up at the beginning or at any other point, and now for some reason Jason Statham's like, I know that you did it, without any clues or any detective work in any way, shape or form. I knew that you are the murderer.
Like, I had to, I remember when we finished the movie, I sat down and I had to think in retrospect and piece together all the information that I got at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And it kind of made sense. And look, I know there are some films that do that, and they do it fantastically in that, you know, you're given a little bit of information at the start, and then it kind of seeds up, and then at the very end, you piece it together. It's like a whodunit, for example, right?
Yeah.
But I just feel like this was just so haphazardly thrown around that it didn't do that very well, and it wasn't justifiable enough. Like, I pieced it together because... I was just so confused at the entire plot. Like, especially, like, for example, with the revelation that she killed the former Frankenstein. I realized that was actually shown at the start.
Yeah.
There was, like, a racing montage that they showed at the start.
The opening of the movie.
Yeah, the opening, race. Yeah. And I think it's funny. They seem to go to extremes of either only tell or only show. And with the showing aspect, there's not enough information to be able to give you
anything.
Any kind of, you know what I mean? Like, they need to work in tandem with each other. And they kind of just forgot about the tandem bit and just decided, here, I'm just going to show you images of cool cars being, like, racing and exploding. And
you didn't know you were meant to be super paying attention because it just opened with a death race and, like, everything was happening. Like, things were blowing up and shit and it was just going crazy. And then it kind of just ended that scene.
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, like, for example, what about the inciting incident? So, how Jason Statham's character
gets into all of this to begin with is he's, it's like a, I would say a 5 minute scene even, maybe even it was really short.
It was pretty quick.
It was pretty quick. He's at home with his wife and his loving kid. That
scene's even shorter. I thought you meant starting at the steel mill.
No. I'm talking about yeah, when he's at his home at the beginning of the film, he's at his home,
yeah.
And he's got to go check his newborn child. He's crying.
He goes and sees his child. Comes back, his wife's dead. Then he's beat up and he's accused of murder.
He's not beat up. He's pepper sprayed.
No, he's pepper sprayed.
They spray pepper in his eyes, and apparently the pepper's so potent he gets knocked out. Wakes up and he's got a knife in his hand.
Yeah,
and his wife's dead.
No, but I think you guys are forgetting the whole the biggest point, which actually made me laugh. I thought it was hilarious. But like, so when you see Jason Statham like cuddling his child, you know, like cooing her to sleep, it cuts to his wife in the kitchen, and there's no like build up of tension or suspense or whatnot. It's super random and super sudden, and you just see a dude in a balaclava mask, or a person I should say, wearing a balaclava mask because you don't know who it is at the time, and then she's dead.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, there's, you know, normally when that something happens, you kind of suspect a building or something like that.
Build a suspense.
Super, super sudden. Like, yeah. It's just random. It was random.
Exactly.
Like, I wasn't expecting it. I had no idea what to expect.
I guess you could say that they argue for it in a better way, because the line she says before the guy appears is, let's kick things up a notch. And, like, either that's the most impressive Bravo Vince moment of filmmaking this film has, or it's just a pure coincidence and like, hey, we need something. Let's just throw it in.
And look, I think that's why when talking to these guys as well, I think I'm probably the one who enjoyed the movie the most. I didn't enjoy it as an overall experience, I guess. But the parts that I liked were just the moments that were so random that it felt almost intentional. Like, for example, let's kick it up a notch, and then just a random person wearing a balaclava mask and killing.
Or when they bring out the truck.
Or when they bring out the truck, right? And it's just so unexpected.
Or when he goes, I love this game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Film, yeah.
Yeah. I just think that some of the parts are just so random that it's to the point of like satire, and I thought, if I can view it as a satire, I can actually enjoy this film.
See, that what you're saying there is my biggest problem with this film. Because, like, for those who don't know the original Death Race, that is a satirical film.
Yeah.
So, like, it's very satire-based about the future of sports and technology and politics. And this one, like, I feel like they tried to do that again. But they also were like, hey, what if we made this dark and gritty?
Yeah.
So they've got dark and gritty and satire, and then they try to do both at the same time. And like, there's a line between them, and they just play jump rope. Like, 1 minute will be dark and gritty,
yeah,
and there'll be a guy brutally beating the shit out of someone else. Next minute, there'll be a big ass truck appear out of nowhere with
flamethrowers.
Enough weapons to make someone in Metal Slug lose their shit.
Absolutely. Like,
there's no consistency in the film, and the tone, like, the biggest issue I have with this film is the tone.
No, I agree.
It's so inconsistent. I know. And it's so irritating.
Like, the ending for the film, the tone is just so wrong for it, in my opinion.
It just, like, just so people listening, what was the ending?
Okay, so basically, it's fast forward into the future. I can't remember.
6 months.
6 months into the future. And so Jason has managed to escape the prison during the third and final race, in the final leg of the race, with his, at the time, rival, which ends up becoming his accomplice and like really close friend. They escape, and they're in Miami now. They're enjoying life.
They were in Mexico.
Oh, they were in Mexico. They went to Mexico. Okay, all right. Well, yeah.
Which got rid of the plot point of I'm going to go to Miami.
Yeah. See, it's like forgettable already. And out of the blue, there's this car that just speeds along to them, and out hops the navigator, who
she was like the bait, essentially.
The bait, yeah.
During
right, yeah.
Jason Statham's escape.
Yeah.
She took over the role of Frankenstein, because Frankenstein wears a mask. I feel that's important to convey.
Yeah.
Because they're all like wrestling personas, essentially. And Jason Statham's one is Frankenstein, which means he wears a mask. No one knows who he is. That's the whole gimmick.
Yeah.
And so during the escape, the navigator puts on the mask and becomes Frankenstein. Jason Statham apparently just jumps out of a car going like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's
which, nice. You know, they never show, they never mention. Jason Statham just appears next to a crane.
Yeah, they're like, all right, let's execute the plan. And then next shot, she's driving the car, putting the mask on, and he's standing next to like a pillar.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait. But they were being chased by police helicopters. They had to pull over at some point.
But yeah, and so like, you know, the navigator pops out and she's like, hey, I missed you, I love you. That in itself also annoyed me, because it's like, throughout the entire film, there is barely any chemistry between any of the characters.
They're not, well, and the problem was that the navigators and the drivers were only allowed to talk when they're racing, because they were women in a women's prison, and these were men in a men's prison. And so what happened is that they can only talk when they get in the car. Which made no sense whatsoever, because then the women get free for sitting there and saying, yeah, you know, we only have one track that we drive on, so you should probably be able to drive it by now.
Well, no. The navigators have expertise onto where the weapons, those pads are. Yeah. That's why she directs him, you know, there's an armor one here and there's a weapon one here. I recommend you pick the armor one because you're getting chased. And he goes, no, I'm going to take the weapon one. And you know when he spins around and shoots the, I think it's Pachinko?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what the navigators are for. But I agree with you in that regards. Like, it makes no sense because...
They literally have zero conversation.
Yeah.
The only conversation they have, he threatens to kill her by ejecting her into a steel beam above the car, immediately killing her.
And that makes her love him, apparently. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I've been doing wrong.
Look, I've said it once, I've said it again. Being in a death race is a very bonding experience.
It's a bonding experience.
Yeah. Like, obviously, how are you not going to bang after surviving a death race?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Also, maybe even Machine Gun Kelly, or Machine Gun Joe?
Machine Gun Joe. Machine Gun Kelly's a rapper.
Machine Gun Joe. They become friends after spending, like, an hour 40 trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
In a film. And he's like, oh, I'm going to kill you, Frankenstein. He's like, I'm not. Frankenstein's dead. I'm another guy. Yeah. Let's go. And he's like, deal. And that's the end of the fucking thing. And also, totally forgives him for all the murders he does in the movie of just kicking out his navigator time and time again.
I feel... See, I just feel like a lot of the... a lot of the plot points weren't justified.
Mm-mm.
Either at all or not enough. Mostly at all. Like, for example, the fact that Frankenstein, Jason Statham, and Machine Gun Joe become best friends.
Yeah.
After, you know, this supposedly bitter rivalry.
It's the bonding power of a death race. It brings people together. That's why in this weird-ass universe... Like, I think there was a line that they just threw away saying, oh, like 70 million people streaming or something. Like...
Oh.
It's like a big event, apparently, in Anderson's post-Obama America.
So annoying. But yeah, and so, you know, the ending's just basically... It's like the ending's like that classic summer blockbuster action ending, which is like everyone moves on together.
The bad guy dies. In a
family. The bad guy dies, and they move on to, like, the future awaits them type deal.
Actually, can we just talk about the part where the bad guy dies? The prison war.
Oh, yeah, the prison war.
She's the bad guy in this film, for those who haven't seen it.
Hennessy.
I think, Hennessy, yeah.
And she kind of hints throughout the film that she set up Jason Statham going to prison.
Yeah.
I think they just full on... He kills a guy during one of the races because he was the one that killed his wife or something.
Which was also another Chekhov where he does the handgun signal.
Yeah.
When he kills the wife.
Yeah.
And he goes, shh, see you soon. And then he goes back to prison for some reason. And then he does it again at the end of the race. And Jason Statham's like, oh, I know
who it is. Heavy-handed. It's all heavy-handed.
Because it literally has the flashback.
It's so annoying.
Got it. I get it now.
But yeah, Cal, you were saying the prison warden.
Yeah. And like, I didn't like her as a villain.
No, not at all.
Because she and her henchman crony spend the majority of the film doing wacky racist style S plans to make sure Jason Statham doesn't win.
Yes.
And like the one at the end is they literally just plant a bomb on the car. They're like, no one's gonna see this. Ian McShane's not gonna see it, the other two guys aren't gonna see it, we're just gonna put a bomb on the car and we'll just blow him up and that way he can't win. And like, apparently someone noticed, like, off screen.
Yeah.
And then they had the bomb off the side of the car.
Yeah.
Which also doesn't make sense, because how did it go up? Like, during the escape scene, she sets off the bomb.
Yeah.
And it, like, activates.
Yeah.
In the garage, but it doesn't blow up.
I think at
that
point...
And then Ian McShane brings that to the warden, and then it blows up then.
But Then he also gets the remote to the bar.
Yeah, he also has the remote.
That is a good point. I forgot that he had the remote.
He had the remote to the bar.
Why did he have the remote to the bar?
Also, see, how did he know she was opening the present?
A lot of unexplained.
Just holes.
Just holes. A lot of holes but in this film.
I think the best part, and I say this as best being the worst part, is after the explosion, like you see it in the background, Ian McShane just turns and faces the camera and says, "I love this game."
How dare you say that's the worst part? It doesn't make any sense. Genuinely the best part. It's so good. See, that's why I'm like,
if it was satirical, I would completely understand.
And that's why I'm saying you have to view it as a satirical piece because.
But at the same time, you absolutely cannot.
Yeah, that's true.
It just doesn't work as a satirical piece.
And I think, as you were saying before, I 100% agree that I reckon one of the biggest faults that this iteration, this 2008 Paul W.S. Anderson version of Death Race has, is that it can't quite make up its mind as to what kind of a tone it's going for.
And so it just misses
And it just misses all... Yeah, it misses both and misses all the points.
That's why you're like, oh, it's a film.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, well, see, you know, it's something. It's content.
And I think that's an issue that Anderson has with a lot of his films. Like, yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen the Resident Evil ones.
I think I saw one on the plane.
But a lot of them are very similar. Like, they go for this gritty style.
Right.
But at the same time, they're like, hey, what if we made this funny? Or hey, what if we made this sci-fi? Or hey, what if we just made this straight up horror? And like, they're trying to do so many things. It just falls in apart on itself.
Yeah.
And like, I think, to be fair, Death Race is probably the worst example of this that I've seen. Like, and I've seen the majority of the Resident Evil series.
Shit.
I think this one's the worst just because, like, it's both extremes.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's super serious and it's super stupid.
But, like, then there's a point where you can get something that's so serious that it kind of loops back.
That it loops back, exactly,
and
yeah.
And makes it to satire, but this movie doesn't go that far.
Yeah.
Because, like, you still have Liz, who is, like, a weird... I'm going to say autistic and not in an offensive way. But he seemed like... Because he literally knew everything about every car that they talked about. And he was weird and nervous and shy. And I don't think he ever made eye contact with anybody in the movie. And, like, that was his character. Also, real big gripe. Every character had one personality trait, and that was...
Oh, man.
Yeah, every character was just...
Super, super one-dimensional. No, except the prison warden's crony who has no dimensions, is complete... Like, if we're talking the most mediocre, the most boring, plain, white bread character of all time...
That guy
is up on the list. He's on the list. Because, he does nothing.
He had a personality trait, and it was bad guy. Yeah. It was just everything that you think a bad guy would do. It was like, and he'll do it. He would just be like, I'm going to be mean to you now. And it's like, well, I saw that coming because you're the bad guy.
It just...
Like, he was just a bad guy because they were like, we need a bad guy, and the prison warden can't do it.
Yeah.
So, like, she needs a sidekick. And so he's just her Muttley.
But he had no motive at
actually I feel like now that I think about this just listening to this conversation just thinking back
he's not the banality of evil
no not at all but do you reckon maybe he has like a mummy complex with the prison warden like if you think if, like, look yeah, seriously you think about it like he's always sucking up to her like this yeah. This is the one scene where he's like you know I did the thing, and it's like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking, similar to in The Simpsons, what's the greasy kid and,
the Krusty Burger kid?
Yeah, with, you know, when they go to England, there's the other version where it's the fish and chip shop, and he's the English version of the Krusty kid, and then his mother is the old,
This is such a specific reference.
I know, it's such a specific, I don't know why I jumped on this track.
You could literally go for Seymour.
yeah, okay.
Or just much Smithers.
More, yeah.
The Smithers and Mr. Burns relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just a crony because he was a crony.
He was a crony.
I don't think he had a mother complex. I just think he was just a badly written
character. I think
to suggest that he had a mother complex is looking too deep into the
movie. I think so, yeah.
This is not a film that you can look at like through any form of artistic lens.
I think I just want to so hard make it better, and I just can't.
There's a lot of ways to fix it, though. Before we jump into fixing, are there anything like? This is a huge thing I had an issue with. All the women were super attractive, right?
That's the issue.
No,
yeah.
Because that was the point of the movie. But that doesn't make any sense because, like, they would be women in prison, so they should look like the men did, which was... Because the women were just, like, essentially Latino models, I think all of them, except the Asian one, who went with the Asian driver because they were Asian.
Probably rate significantly better.
But, like, if you just... Like, Orange is the New Black is a good example of a cast of what prison women would look like, and that's just anything, except all the exact same person replicated. Which was what the thing was, and I was like, that's just kind of annoying and stupid.
Yeah.
And that you didn't have... They had... None of them had any personality or any character whatsoever.
I think... I felt like...
Again, but that was an issue with
everybody. I felt like all the women, aside from Hennessy, were essentially your classic stereotyped female characters in racing.
But couldn't put a mask on at the end of the movie, so they were like, we'll just make it a person.
We'll make it a person.
We'll make it a woman.
But, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when females are represented in action films as, like, the sidekick or, like, the inciting incident or the femme fatale, for example, right?
Yeah.
They're always super attractive. And also, a lot of the times, they're really, really flat and don't have many other dimensions.
But luckily, everyone... Like, you can't say the women were written badly in this movie.
Yeah, but everyone was written badly. No, everyone was written badly.
I mean, this movie's really unfair to people who work in a prison because he was written the worst.
Yeah. And I think something else that really, really got on my nerves as well was the... just the overall editing of the film is really messy. Mm. Like, I think... One of the reasons why when we were talking earlier about how in the intro there's that racing scene between the old Frankenstein and someone else, and you know it's shown that
you can't pick it up whatever fast enough.
You can't pick it up fast enough because the way that they edit the action scenes it just jumps, like the camera the angling and the framing just jumps around the place and it's not cohesive enough. Like, I understand that these short, quick cuts are supposed to emulate, you know, adrenaline pumping action, right? Which is a staple in all action films. I get that. That's cool.
That's how but it works.
Look at like Jason Bourne, for example, right? The editing style of that is short, quick, and punchy, and it's adrenaline pumping, but it's still cohesive and orchestrated well enough that you can flow and understand the combat. A lot of the times when watching the races and even the fight scenes, like the brawl scenes, I had no idea where to look because the camera spins around so much. It jumps around from all these different angles. It's not stable enough. Mm-hmm. And then speaking of the camera in itself, it does this weird, like a zoom bobbing thing. Like it's like a handheld zoom.
Once you pointed it out, I was like, oh, I see it now.
Yeah. Like if you guys watch the film or have seen the film, just think back to whenever Hennessy is shown, during the races. Every single cut to her is a zoom in, and it looks like a handheld zoom because it's not stable.
And
it wasn't just her, though. It was
everyone. No, it was everyone.
Even Jason Statham.
True.
Like, it's just during the action scenes. When there was less action, they didn't do it as much.
Yeah.
Because there was no point.
Yeah, but it was still, like, there. And you have to ask why did Anderson think that was a good idea to use that?
And, like, don't get me wrong, I think a well-placed zoom is really powerful. Like, you can look at Tarantino and how he uses his zooms in, like, an almost satirical way. Exactly, right? But
extreme close-ups aren't bad. It's just they were done badly here.
I feel like this is similar to jokes that you make and you tell them over and over again to incite some sort of response.
Yeah.
And in this case, I feel like it just keeps putting itself onto you. And
yeah, you're like, oh...
And I just... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, and I just don't want to see it anymore. It's,
I got it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the editing was, like... To me, was another big kind of flaw.
The soundtrack?
Ugh. The soundtrack was... Look, essentially, it was almost essentially the same song over and over again. Just like...
I can't remember like a single song.
See, it's not memorable at all.
I'm not sure whether though that's... Like, I'm not a big person like who listens to rap and hip-hop.
Okay. No, but
I couldn't place... I assumed it was the same song throughout the entire film.
It wasn't... No, see, the thing is, so they used... the music that they used was like this really overbearing industrial kind of sound, like metal, industrial metal kind of sound.
Except when they introduced the prison, which was rap.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I think it kind of hits that market, especially back in the 2000s, before like when we hit the 2010s, of, you know, those kind of gritty action films. Like, it's very industrial, heavy metal kind of sounding, yeah, kind of music.
Death Racer.
Not very memorable at all. No. And I wasn't particularly a fan.
But on one hand, it never really came to a point where you're kind of super distracted by it. Which is also...
Yeah, that's fair. That's true.
It very okay. There's no point where I'm like, well, that was misplaced. Well, that was bad. It was, I was kind of like... Mm. Like, the only one I really noticed was the rap one. Because, oh yeah, every song started out really loud. There was no build-in.
Oh yeah.
It was just immediately cut to a scene. And then the music would just kick in super loudly for no reason, and then kind of just end.
No, absolutely. Look, I feel like it's a movie that kind of probably it, I would say it probably hit the expectation that the producers and the director probably were hoping for.
100%.
And it kind of doesn't do much more than that. Would you say it was a safe film? You know what? Actually, I would say it was a fairly safe film, I considering the audience that it was targeted towards.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the thing. You have to look at the demographic.
Yeah.
It was a very safe film. There was nothing in that film that you would be like, well, teenage boys are going to hate this. It was like, nope, everything in this movie, teenage boy can be like, I get it. I like it.
Yeah.
A woman. I like them. And guns. I like them. Cars go fast. I like that. Done. It was very easy to sell,
maybe,
I imagine.
The problem is that we're not teenage boys anymore. Maybe that was the biggest problem.
What, we're in our early 20s, but suddenly...
Yeah, exactly. Suddenly. That we couldn't pick up and appreciate the film for what it was.
We are suddenly too smart for Death Race.
For Death Race.
But like,
we cannot do the Death
Race.
But
when you look at it, that's not the majority of the population. They made a movie for a very niche audience.
Yeah,
for the
true.
People who have like Fox stickers on the back of their... Like, not Fox News, but like the Fox motorcycle... Or like Monster Energy drink stickers on the back of their ute.
Yeah.
That was the demographic for this movie. It was like, people will see this and they'll be like, yep, perfect. That's the one.
It definitely feels like it's 100% pandering towards testosterone.
Yeah.
It's like, without a doubt. It's like, yeah.
The fact that the only like two women are in it that have like the significant lines.
Yeah, well, exactly.
One's literally there for eye candy and the other one's the bad one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly, yeah.
The other one's like, oh, we haven't got a woman in this film, we'll make the bad person a woman.
See, and that's the thing as well. Like, I remember last night Riley and I were talking about this, about Hennessy, and I think one of the things that annoyed me about her character was as a villain, there needs to be, in my mind, something that really motivates them to achieve their goal. And the way Hennessy's character was written, I think she was, the actress did an okay job of portraying her. And I feel like it's unfortunate that her character and the script that she was given was probably not to the caliber of her acting abilities, I presume. But I just felt like Hennessy had no real grounding for her behavior. To me, she just seemed like a bitch. And maybe that is, again, pandering towards that testosterone audience. Like, you know, if the villain is a female, it's a one-dimensional bitch, because we can just hate on that and just bitch about that. And if it's eye candy, well, it's eye candy. It's fine for the boys, right? And I remember talking to Riley, I was saying, I wish they kind of delved deeper into her psyche, into her reasonings for this whole setup. Like, it is kind of explained, but I don't believe it at all, because it was just done in such a heavy-handed way that I feel like...
And it was so off... It was offhanded as well.
It was offhanded as well, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It's like off the cuff.
It was like, Death Race has to run, so we have money. And I was like, okay. And that was kind of like the whole explanation of it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Any other gripes? And we'll see what we could do to fix it. We're a bit late.
There was a lot of dialogue that I would say was unintentionally hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Man, some of the one-liners were quite, like, just kind of, like, cheesy classic
like,
one-liners.
Like, slocked on cheese.
Yeah.
Like, the whole, yeah, the oh shit scene.
Yeah.
Where they douse one of the cars, the opponent's cars, in petrol or something.
Yeah.
And then the navigator gets out of the car with the lighter, which they bring up earlier in one of the worst jokes I've ever seen in the film. And then she throws that saying, Merry Christmas, asshole. And, like, that's all just pure, like, that's B, Z grade schlock.
So good.
But then he looks out the window of his car, even though he has windscreen, and he just yells, "Ah, she," and the car catches fire and explodes.
Yeah, and I think, actually, I think this is indicative throughout the dialogue as well. It's so safe. One of the reasons why the film is so safe in terms of pandering towards that specific niche audience is that they reuse so many overused tropes, stereotypes and cliches. Like, I remember there's one line that Hennessy talks about when near the beginning of the film, Jason Statham, when he's first introduced into the prison, gets into a brawl, basically, and he gets reprimanded and has to see the prison warden, which is Hennessy. And she's like, you know, if you mess with this guy, your time in prison is going to be a lot longer. Something along the lines of that. I can't remember what it was because it was pure dribble.
You have it written.
And it was like a lot shorter because she was like vaguely implying that he was going to die.
The man you provoked, well, let's say your lifetime sentence will be significantly shorter.
Oh, man. Just how many times have I heard that in a film? Basically, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so overused. And I just felt like it labored on and on for that reason as well. It, like, I agreed with Cal when he was saying one of the aspects, I guess, that he liked was the kind of original concept of a death race. I like that. I genuinely do. But, and that's the thing, yeah, though, like, as well. It's it this original idea is, in essence, borrowing it from the original film, because this is a remake.
But, like, it's not like, it's not like there's an abundance of films about this topic.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, I mean, plot-wise, I see this as being very similar to another film which came out around the same time called Gamer.
Yeah.
Where the only difference is, it's an online video game that they have to play instead of a death race.
Yeah.
But it takes the same... Someone's in prison for a crime they didn't commit. They have to do this now because they've been forced to and they find a way to escape. They're the same film. Yeah. One has Jason Statham, one has Jared Butler. I think Gamer has worse reviews, but I remember enjoying that significantly more than
Death Race. Oh, really?
But how old were you when you watched it?
Yeah, I was, I think, a year or two older than when I saw Death Race the first time. I'm pretty sure if I watched it now, I'd absolutely hate it.
Classic.
Also, the guy who fixes the car, his personality trait was Mexican.
And that was, yeah, no, 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 legit, I know. Yeah,
like,
true.
The Japanese
very
racer,
true.
His
very
personality
true.
Was...
Japanese, yeah,
Japanese
true.
Triad, and I was like, well, this is all just like very racist, very simple to understand, but
yeah,
they were like, I'm Mexican and I can fix cars, and that was it. And he made the worst joke in the movie, which was,
so they were going through the car and explaining what everything is, and then
this.
Was it Jason Statham? He points to this like symbol that looks like, oh, that's like a button you press and
it's like
something happens.
It's a biohazard symbol on it.
So he goes, oh, what's that? And then the...
You know, the guy goes, what's that?
Yeah, I forgot the accent. And then the Mexican guy goes, oh, this is the most important part of the car. And then he pulls it out.
Really slow.
Lights up a cigarette. And then starts smoking. But like, the timing was even worse than that explanation just then. It was garbage timing. There was just no timing. And it was like a joke that, like, at the most would be like a slight chuckle. But they fucked it up so much that it was just like,
but
this is just laughably bad.
They were explaining the car, then that joke happens, and then they go back to explaining the car. And it's like, but you didn't do a punchline at the end. You somehow tried to punchline in the middle of it.
And like, the shot after him, like, smoking... lasted just that too long where it became like, why are you drawing this out?
Oh, man.
It's just like, if that was a quick joke, then I can understand it. But the fact that they were like, hey, guys, we made a funny. Come look at the joke that we did. Guys, look at this joke. It was like, oh, what is wrong with him?
And then it just immediately, he like just stands up from the window. And then the scene continues as if the joke had never occurred.
And I think that's not even the thing that annoys me the most. The thing that annoys me the most is the fact that goddamn lighter became a Chekhov's plot point.
Yeah.
Because they brought it back up later to set that other car on fire, and
with
I just
napalm.
Don't like the
See,
entire
doesn't,
part of it.
It just feels so forced. Like, it feels like as they were filming it, they were writing it. At the same time, they're like, oh shit, we need to kind
probably
of like.
Were.
Yeah, and they probably
See,
were. Yeah,
the,
yeah, legit.
This is the bit, and I said this when watching, is that it felt like they wrote the first 5 minutes after they did the rest of the film.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh shit, we need to get Jason Statham
into prison. Hence why...
I forgot that bit. Hence why the murder makes no sense.
Seriously, the most random murder.
Like, without that without that bit, that movie can still work. Because it'd be like, he's the guy who killed my wife.
Yeah.
And so he goes and kills the guy who kills his wife in prison. And then bada bing.
Hey, that would make a lot of sense, right? If Jason Statham was already in prison.
Maybe they should make him leave prison to murder his wife so Jason Statham comes to prison. And they were like, well, that's a day of writing done for us. Pack it up, we could all go home.
But then, like, the first scene before he goes home, where they're at the steel mill.
Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with anything at all.
No.
Other than, like, show the fact that Jason Statham obviously can fight.
And drive. Despite the fact that he's. That's what it
but
is.
But he didn't drive in that
Oh, scene. Wait. Oh, but he was just working at the steel mill.
He gets underpaid, and then there's a riot, and he beats up a riot officer, and then he just catches a bus home. And at no point, they don't mention it until, like, 30 minutes in, that he's a Speedway driver and won, like, a bunch of NASCAR titles or anything.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, they just didn't explain the main facet of the character, why it's important for him to go to prison.
And they really literally could have done that super easy. When he gets home, he just has a shelf of medals. Or a shelf of fucking trophies.
Yeah,
All you need to do is just like a quick pan across or whatever, or like a side movement one, and it would just have, you know,
a bit of music.
2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, rally car winner. Or whatever, or Speedway champion, and he's just got all the fucking gold medals and a trophy, and like best racer or whatever, and you know, jersey up on the wall. You could do anything like that, but none. They just chose none. They were like, no.
No.
We'll let the autistic kitty fiddler in prison explain it.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, actually, bring me back to that. They say that the men's prison where the races are held are. The people, the prisoners in them are the worst kinds of people. Murderers, rapists.
True.
I'm assuming kitty fiddlers, because they like to talk about diddling kids quite a lot. Like, it's an unreasonable...
They mentioned it
at least 3 or 4 times. And that's 4 times too many to mention in a film.
Yeah, true.
Especially when no one is explicitly made to be a kiddly fiddler.
Yeah.
And then you... But later on in the movie, the guy who's... I can't remember what his name is.
Liz. They call him Liz because in his head everything is a list. Because he was... autistic.
And, like, he gets uncomfortable about, like, killing someone. So that begs the question, why is he in that prison?
Yeah,
because
that's
if
true.
He can't kill someone, that leaves...
Rape?
2 crimes.
Yeah, rape or kidnapping. Which, I mean, really, could be the same one. But, like...
Yeah, true.
It's just... They kind of created a whole bunch of uncomfortable questions.
It's just a lot
the
of...
The audience want to ask if they look at this film at anything past the superficial
because
level.
Because he didn't seem like a bad guy. The Mexican didn't seem like a bad guy.
Coach didn't seem like
Coach
a bad guy.
Coach kind of came across at the end as he was like, no, I did bad things in my past. I'm in here for a whole list of things.
And it's like Shawshank. Fucking Red.
He was like, I'm a bad guy, but I've kind of been here long enough. I don't want to go back outside.
Yeah.
I'm a bad guy. And so the three people that you kind of see, two of them don't seem like murderers.
No.
Which only leaves 2 other professions they can have to be in prison. I'm not going to say profession. I'm going to say crime.
Yeah, it's like crime.
Profession.
Killing kids is not a profession.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I just feel like it's almost made out to be that you're supposed to hate the real, quote-unquote, the real criminals, right?
Yeah.
And then anyone else who assists in the cause aren't criminals.
Literally gets out of his car and kills a guy with his own hands on the track.
Yeah, no, yeah. yeah, legit, yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Oh, I was like, yeah. Mm. See, that was a tonal shift as well.
Yeah. But then, like, that the list guy, he stabs that guy in the back and then gets kicked the shit out of. And then you have a weird fighting scene where he gets tased at the end. And I was like, that was different. I don't understand that at all.
Truly an odd film.
All right, how would you fix it? I'm going to start with Cal on this one.
Yeah.
I feel... He has many.
How would I fix that film?
Yeah.
I wouldn't make it.
Ooh.
I know, like, honestly, you had a great film in the original. There was no need to remake it.
I didn't know of the original.
And thing. It was a cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a legitimately entertaining film. That's somehow even more fucked up than this one. And, like, there's a lot of issues with this one, but, like, in terms of like moral and ethical, like
yeah,
it's a good film. Yeah. But like, yeah, I don't see the need. I don't know why this needed to be remade. Though that being said, I could understand if they want to remake it now. Yeah. Like, I feel like it would be a very socially relevant
like film a social now. Kind of commentary.
Yeah.
Well, because it would go well with Hunger Games.
But the problem is then, It's essentially Hunger Games with cars before the Hunger Games was a thing. But if they want to do it now, they shouldn't do it like they did this film. If you either commit fully to pure grit or you commit fully to satire, you don't do both.
And I really think...
I think satire would work significantly better.
Satire is the best way to go.
See, like, if I were to fix it, I just want to see what it would look like in the hands of a director like Tarantino. Because this, to me, screams, like, the kind of work that he would do, right?
Death Proof.
Well, exactly, like Death Proof, right? Yeah.
Which he produced.
Which he produced. So, Tarantino or even
Robert Rodriguez,
I feel like would be a better kind of pick for it. It's that kind of classic exploitation grindhouse film that they kind of work with a lot. But also, there's a lot of room for just real hard satire and just over the top action and kind of imagery. And I feel like that would help a lot. And I agree 100% in that. Pick a tone, stick with the tone, and don't flit around with it. And also, write better characters. Give your women better roles as well.
Look, you kind of would only need to fix the women in this movie. All you need is that between, like, from the beginning of the race, you would say that they are all stuck. Because they had, like, 14 hours to fix their car. So assume that, like, the races are over 3 days for three races. You just have the women stay in the pits with the men. And, like, even though... Other than that brings up the question of, like, but they're rapists.
But they're rapists.
And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. So you can't really... I mean, there's a reason they're kept away, but then...
Also, it wouldn't make sense because of how attractive the women are.
Yeah.
You couldn't... Yeah. No, see, it's... there's a... Yeah.
There's a plethora of issues.
There's a real plethora of issues, yeah.
These, but I was like... I was discussing with Keem after we'd seen it. The way you would give, like, Hennessy a reason. And the best... I think the best way to do that would be you would open with the death race, right? Then you would have... You would cut to the scene. Like, you can just keep the whole bunch of scenes. We have Jason Statham. Although if I did it again, I'd probably recast. Jason Statham... do get fired from the steel mill. Then you'd come back to Hennessy and she'll have a board meeting with sponsors. And the sponsors will be like, Frankenstein died. We've just heard Frankenstein died. Your next season, like, we're thinking of pulling out because you've lost your pretty much tight, like, the best character.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the so most no one's going to watch. So you either find a new Frankenstein or we're not going to sponsor you. And then she would say something like, even though it'd be exposition again, it's like, your money keeps the prison open. Like, if you don't sponsor us, I'm going to have to, like, execute half of these prisoners just so, you know, the rest can be fed. And you just have the sponsor say something like, well, that's, like, you better have a good season then. Too bad for you. And then she has, like, a fucking reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
The death race has to be good.
Yeah, no.
And then you would cut to Jason Statham going home. You don't have his wife murdered yet.
Yeah.
He goes home and you do a little bit and you show that he was a speedway driver. Yada 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 yada. You know, talk with the wife, hold the baby. Make the child more important because apparently that's the reason he'd done everything. And you see that child maybe...
Once at the end. Oh, and then there's the photo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, like, I just feel like there needs... they hit on something pretty cool, which is the concept of a prison being funded through...
State television.
Yeah, television ratings, right?
I think it's a really interesting
topic. And, like, for example, you see it a lot in... the Japanese have actually worked on a lot. Like, Battle Royale, for example, if you guys have read or watched the film, that is essentially that. There's a manga anime series called Dead Man Wonderland, which has a similar premise in that it's like underground battle arenas, which are televised and create incentives to input more money into the prison creating a better life for
the
inmates and the wardens and whatnot, and also contributing to society, blah, 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 right? And I feel like what they missed the mark on was, like, they kept saying that the third race hit 70 million views, but as a viewer watching this movie, I felt like that was completely irrelevant. It didn't mean jack shit to me.
Yeah, well,
exactly. It wasn't significant because, and one of the reasons why was because Hennessy wasn't given enough room to show the significance of that. In my opinion, I feel like if they had rewritten her character to, like you were saying, Riley, kind of show a greater amount, like stakes at risk, basically, it would have been more compelling.
Yeah,
I think, and it would have changed the tone a bit more as well. Maybe not necessarily for a bad thing. It kind of, I guess, not necessarily more serious either. Just gives it the plot more grounding, I think, which is important for this plot because it's grasping at straws. Let's be honest. Yeah. It's grasping at straws.
Yeah, and like you would do that scene and then you'd cut back and then she's like, all right, who's going to be Frankenstein? Who have we got in the prisoner list? And then you have that crony guy be like, there's no one. No one can race here. Like, all the good ones, they died because of Death Race. The first half of Death Race, that first word, death, that got them. They didn't finish the race.
I'm surprised at how many races they can get every year. Yeah, get out, because the races just die.
Maybe they do it like some sort of Hunger Games style tribute. Where they just draw random.
Well, they draw
like flats. I would be interested to know how they go in to, like, how they pick drivers.
Yeah.
Because they don't explain it.
Machine Gun Joe had no motive to race.
He wanted to go out.
Yeah, because the deal is you win 5 races, you get freedom.
You get your freedom.
But, like, why would you sign up? Because you just know that everyone died except for Frankenstein and Machine Gun Joe. Everyone else died in the first race. None of them had any wins.
No, a few of them made it to the second race.
Yeah, but
I think 2 of them died in the first one, and 6 died in the second.
Look, let's be honest. Is that
crazy fucking truck?
Yeah.
That truck is, I reckon, the best bit of the movie. But that truck. Oh, that and also the killing Hennessy was.
That scene was.
That's phenomenal. Supreme.
So, like, I think that would fix it, and obviously your huge recast would probably be.
Yeah, who would you?
I don't know, cast? But not Jason Statham because he can't.
I can't. Yeah, I agree.
But like, you look at like action films, they have to have like an archetype. Like, it's very like there's a reason that him, Vin Diesel, Dwayne the Rock Johnson, they all get roles because they all play
the same similar character. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know who would have been good for this if you were going to go full satire? Bruce Willis, because he
started. Yeah, that's true.
I could see that.
Yeah,
He started as a comedy actor. And went to action.
Yeah.
And so I think he would be perfect for an over-the-top action movie that's essentially a comedy. Because it's satire. He would be perfect for the role. Because he can make wisecracks.
Yeah, that's true.
And he can just action scenes.
How about Dwayne The Rock? Because he's kind of in that similar boat as well.
Yeah, I could see him. The problem is I don't think he fit in the car.
I don't think he'd fit in the car. That would be comical alone. And that would be... Not good.
They gave him like the Beetle, and then it would be like that guy from like, Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just has a Vespa that's just got a cover around the front of it.
Comical about my automobile. Hey, everybody, it's the kid that laughs at everyone. Let's laugh at him.
That would be a good scene for the movie.
Oh man, you just cut it straight into
instead
that.
Instead of snapping that guy's neck, he just pulls down his pants and makes him drive along the track.
Whoa. Also, that scene where the guy yells, "You can't kill me, you can only make me crash, but I'll live forever," and then just get sideswiped.
Yeah,
and that was good.
He just explodes into a mist of blood.
Oh,
phenomenal.
Although at the same time, I'm like 100% positive I saw the exact same scene, like shot for shot, replicated in one of the Resident Evil films.
Oh, really?
That's like funny. I'm pretty sure it was just, instead of a guy talking, it was just a zombie, and then a car just comes past and kills him.
Just sideswipes. Actually, that also reminds me as a quick thing. Do you guys remember that scene, which I thought was completely random? It's Hennessy, and she's basically saying that she's like a messenger from God.
Oh,
yeah, God's right hand is always on my shoulder. And it adds this whole weird layer to her character, which is so unnecessary.
I think that was more she was saying she's God.
She's
and she orchestrated Jason Statham getting sent into prison. That's how. Like, that's like. That's
okay.
How I
yeah.
Took
that, that's fair. That's
she
fair.
Has the right. She has the right hand of God.
She has the right hand of God.
The left hand of God.
Yeah, that's insinuating that she has a second dimension to a character, that she's got this religious thing.
I mean, that's true. That's true.
And that's just not at all.
The closest film. Anyone got to a second dimension was when Liz stabbed the guy.
Yeah.
Because then he also had nervous.
That's your extra layer.
Nervous. And like two dimensions to that guy. Like, I don't know. It was just weak in terms of character.
Yeah.
In terms of story, the story was coherent to a point. It was like, man, framed for crime, goes prison, race car, leaves prison. And then I was like, well, I got it. You know what happened in that movie. You can say how you got from A to B.
Yeah.
From look, 0 to 0.
I just feel like it hit the beats that it was supposed to and didn't do much else.
No. Mm. Very mediocre.
Yeah.
Final rating? Keaton?
You know what? I reckon 4.5 out of 10.
4.5 out of 10?
Yeah.
Cal?
See, I... Like, there were redeeming qualities.
Yeah,
at the same time, it was not a good film. And it's like, it was verging on the line between, like, a bad film, just straight up, and a bad film that's so bad it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And that's where I think I got most of the enjoyment from it. Okay. So, like, I'm going to give it, like, a 2.5.
But fair enough.
On that note that it was a bad film that was so good, I'll give my 8 in a second. On a bad film that was just bad until it was good, I think it almost had that until the last scene.
Yes.
Where
yeah.
You hit with, like, a super heavy moral... And, like, he does the, I did everything so I could be with my daughter.
I love my baby.
Yeah, and it was like, you didn't mention that at all in the film until, like, the last race where you pull out a photo of the baby girl and just look at it and go, and then put it back. And then he just puts it back in his wallet. And it's like, okay, I get it. Your daughter's important to you. Like, you probably should have said that earlier or more frequently. So instead, right at the end, because it kind of just seems like they got to the end of the movie when they were shooting it. It is as if they shot it in chronological order too.
Mm.
And they shot it and they're like, oh fuck, we have not mentioned his daughter at all in any of these scenes. And we already blew up the truck. So we can't do those scenes again. And then like they just got to the end and was like, no, he really did it for his daughter. Which he didn't, because he didn't mention it at all. I give the movie, because I'm quite dense, and even though I've critiqued it very heavily, I did enjoy all of the action sequences, so I'd give it about a 4, I reckon. 4.
Alright, cool. So
that gives it to like an average of almost 3.
Yeah, 3.5.
Drags it down
3.5, I think.
So this is not the most mediocre movie of all time. This is not the rice cracker.
No, this is not the rice cracker.
The saltines.
That we're looking for.
I guess it would be if you put like dirt on it, then maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it's a saltine that I've dropped.
Yeah. A saltine that you've dropped?
Drops run over with a car.
Is that in tying in with Death Race?
Yeah, of course.
No. Yeah, of course.
All right, thank you. Join us eventually again.
Next
probably
time.
Next week.
Next time. Just next time. Just
next time. Next time.
In our quest for the most mediocre film.
The most okay thing we've ever watched.
We've ever seen.
All right, I've been Riley.
I'm still Keaton.
And I'm also still Cal.
All right, thank you.